An interagency squabble over version 3 of the Office Supplies strategic sourcing contract goes public, and the General Services Administration is not happy about it. In Inside the Reporter's Notebook, Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller gives us the scoop. He also promises a bit of humor to an otherwise, well, dry federal procurement process. Jason, we're all ears.
Yeah, federal procurement, funny, huh? It doesn't usually come together too often. But on this one, I'll have to say, you know, it gave me a laugh. Not really a laugh in that ha-ha, oh, that's a funny joke kind of way, but just kind of a laugh in the really kind of way. Like, this is really happening. So let me give you a little bit of background, and we can get into the why this is funny, at least in my eyes and maybe some others. The General Services Administration is pushing forward with the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative for Office Supplies 3 contract. Now, this is a follow-up to what they call a fairly successful Office Supplies 2 contract, where they're limiting the competition, saying, we're going to get the best prices, best terms and conditions from a small set of vendors to provide the government with deep discounts for office supplies. They liked it and said, okay, let's figure out version 3. Well, as soon as they released version 3 back in a February timeframe, a flood of protests came in. I think something like 14 pre-award protests to the Government Accountability Office. Now, part of what the Government Accountability Office had to do was ask the Small Business Administration to do an analysis of GSA's justification for, under the law, anytime an agency consolidates or bundles contracting requirements or contracts, a justification must be done. And SBA came back and said, you know what, GSA, your justification is not adequate in the least bit. And in fact, it does not support your decision to take the requirements and consolidate them under OS3. It's going to have too much of a harmful negative impact on small businesses. So, you know, members of the press, we do our job, right? And we get a copy of the decision by SBA. We write a story. You can find my story on federalnewsradio.com. And now here comes what I think is just one of those ha-ha moments in federal procurement, a funny moment. GSA actually wrote to GAO and said, hey, we're not happy that this protester is leaking it to the press that the decision was made, and we're not happy that the protester is telling other agencies not to follow the rule, not to get on board with this procurement. Can you please, and this is their words, ask them to cease and desist? Now, this is, you know, a cease and desist letter. They're requesting that from GAO. Now, here's the quote. Protester K-Paul filed a protest with GAO and is now asking federal agencies to end their participation in the contract procurement without waiting for a decision from GAO. This is from Kristen Nolday, who is the Assistant Regional Counsel for GSA. Now, she says that GSA submits that the correspondence is highly improper during the pendency of this protest. Now, GAO wrote back, this is Jonathan Kang, the Assistant General Counsel for GAO, and he responded with basically a, hey, go away, you don't know what you're talking about. He writes, there's no protective order for this protest, and thus there are no restrictions on the party's ability to share documents or information. With regard to your concern about correspondence by protesters with other government agencies, this is a matter outside of our jurisdiction. Our rules do not contemplate that we may restrict the ability of a parties to a protest to correspond with other government agencies. So the fact is, GSA asking for a cease and desist in a matter of this is laughable in many regards. And at the same time, it's a head scratcher going, really? You're so worried about bad press and bad reaction within the government, and you're not confident in the fact that you can win your case, that you have to go to the length of a cease and desist letter. I mean, and I know maybe ha-ha funny is not what we're talking about here, but I, in my years covering procurement, and Tom and Emily, you guys have been doing this long enough now, I don't know if you ever remember something like this coming out.
I don't, and of course I've been following this whole procurement and protest thing for more than 20 years, and what it sounds like is one of two things, and maybe you can shed some light on this. Either GSA, with having had several, well, they've had some good news and some bad news, let's say, over the past 5 years, but some of the bad news has been pretty widely drumbeat, and so they're super sensitive. The other thing is that there's much more serious legalistic problems with this procurement than we might be aware of, or maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah, I would tell you you're right on both accounts. I think there is definitely some sensitivities around GSA, and I think some frustration that they're trying to do a good job, and they felt like, you know, if you read the SBA decision on the bid on the small business analysis, the justification, GSA thought they did it right. I mean, but SBA found that they not only didn't do it right, but they were highly inadequate. They didn't go through all the steps. They just wrote a one sentence that said, we don't think this is going to have a negative impact. And then I think also that this is, that they're in danger of really having this OS3 procurement, which is a, you know, White House initiative. This is really led by the Office of Federal Procurement Policy in many regards, stall out at a time when they feel like they're just really building some momentum around agencies committing to and using this strategic sourcing contract specifically for office supplies.
Yeah, Jason, tell us a little bit more about that to help us put it in perspective. And I should say we're talking with our own executive editor, Jason Miller, and you can find all of his news on Inside the Reporter's Notebook. But what does this do to the office supply strategic sourcing contract?
Well, right now we're on a holding pattern until GAO decides to make a decision. Remember, these are pre-award protests. So vendors are still bidding. They're still going to submit their bids if they haven't already to GSA. But what can happen is if when GAO rules and says, let's say they come back and say, well, we don't know what they'll say, and they make that very clear in the letter that they have not made a decision yet. But if GAO says, we disagree, despite SBA's concerns, we believe OS3, the protesters don't have a leg to stand on, so we deny the protest or dismiss the protest. Then the Office Supplies 3 just goes forward and really nothing happens, and this just becomes a footnote. If GAO comes back and says, well, we think SBA's analysis is dead on, GSA did not do what they were supposed to do under the law, and therefore we will sustain the protest, this will hold up OS3, because then GSA must go back and fix the problems that GAO found. Now, remember, GAO does not have the authority to say, you must do this. It's only a strong recommendation, and GSA could come back and obviously with the White House's blessing say, well, thank you, GAO. We understand your concerns, but we're going forward anyways. And then that's where Congress potentially could get involved. And I was at the ACT IAC Small Business Conference last week, and Emily Murphy, who's the counsel for the Small Business Committee on the House side, she is not a big supporter of strategic sourcing the way it's being done right now. So I think if GSA comes back and says we're not going to listen to GAO, expect Congress to get involved.
Jason, this reminds me a little bit of the case of the fire truck distributors. Many years ago, there were repeated unsuccessful efforts to let states and cities use GSA schedules, and it was always blocked by distributors of fire trucks who are resellers of fire trucks who are highly localized businesses, and they didn't want their business going away to national contracts. And so I think this sounds like that case in the sense that there are a lot of small business vendors involved here that don't like the idea of nationalizing with a few biggies something as common as office supplies.
Well, I think part of the issue that's going on here is the way GSA and really OFPP more broadly, and I've debated this with former OFPP Administrator Joe Jordan. I've talked to Dan Gordon, the other former OFPP Administrator under the Obama administration, saying I think generally speaking, office strategic sourcing makes sense in many regards, but you can't go from having 500 suppliers under the GSA schedule to 15, like with a snap of your fingers. And they'll say, well, we had a competition. People could have bid if they wanted to, and there's always winners and losers. And while no one would disagree with that, there's an inherent promise from the government when you get a GSA schedule that at least it's a license to hunt. You'll at least be able to go out and get some business. If you get that license to hunt and then the government comes in and says, yeah, that license is not really that valid anymore. I mean, you can try, but really this group of people over here are going to have the best, you know, opportunities really to do the hunting, and you can only hunt on the edges, that's really frustrating. And I think what's happening is not so much a local versus national, but a what are you doing to the industrial base, and why are, you know, if GSA schedules are supposed to be this be-all, end-all, why do you think another contract is worthwhile when they easily could change some of the pieces and parts and mechanisms under the schedule to make it open the door for a wider group of small business vendors.
All right. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thank you for that good one. And, yeah, you're right. It's not a funny, like, ha-ha, but really good way to characterize it.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.